Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech for my power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Thank you for what you have begun with us. Thank you for what you are doing with us. Thank you for what you will yet do. We return all the glory and the honor to you. Take preeminence in our lives, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we are free. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. We can have our seats. Me, I've enjoyed myself thoroughly in Accra. Who else has enjoyed themselves this weekend? Praise the Lord. I greet all the men and the women. I can't thank Daddy and Mommy enough for this privilege and opportunity. All the men of God who have been supporting us throughout this weekend. You have been an inspiration. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. I won't forget my experience in Accra in a hurry. Yesterday I was asking if the messages were recorded, because people in Lagos are asking me, and I heard that there was one small demon that sat on the computer yesterday. So I would have wanted to encourage, because me, I was really blessed even when I wasn't speaking by all the ministrations. So I would have wanted to encourage you to get the messages, but it wasn't recorded, so I don't know what you would do. I heard they have Friday. Is this working? Can you hear me? I hear they have Friday's message. After that, they haven't gotten anyone, and they don't know whether they'll get this one. Praise God. So, on Friday, we started talking about the excellent ones. And yesterday, we had seminar-like teachings in the morning and in the evening. And we looked at excellence in various aspects of our lives, from home to personal life to career.
And this morning, I just want to finish with a short exhortation on the more excellent way. The more excellent way. I'm about to read a lot of scripture. I hope you like reading the Bible. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll start reading from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for what? For the profit of all. If you underline your Bible, that's a good place to underline your Bible. Why is the manifestation given to each one? For what? For the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the parts which lack it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, help, administration, variety of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you what? A more excellent way. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me what? Nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. Hallelujah. So I'm not teaching on gifts of the Spirit today. If you have questions about tongues and interpretation, you can ask Pastor Shi later. But what I want to bring out of these Bible verses I've read are about how God has, in his wisdom, has created each of us uniquely and differently with different gifts and abilities and put us in the body for a purpose. And that purpose was described in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For what? The profit of all. And then he started to say that when you look at the natural human body, it helps you to understand how God framed his spiritual body or the body of Christ. If you look at the natural human body, there are different parts with different functions and different abilities. The nose cannot see and the eyes cannot smell. No matter how brilliant this thing is and can think of many ideas and what to do, it needs the hands. Have you seen brain just jogging down the street before? If you see it, what will you do? Would you faint first before you run? You just see brain, it's just jogging. Say, I don't need the legs. I can go and do the project by myself. So, and then scripture says something really interesting. It says the parts that we don't even honor, that we think are the less honorable parts, they are actually the most important parts that, you know, we actually take the most care of in our body. Imagine that something went wrong with the liver. You know, if something goes wrong with your mouth, maybe you have toothache. It is painful. It is swollen for a few days. You understand? But is it life-threatening? But if something is wrong with the liver, is it life-threatening? You know, if you understand how the body is composed, it will heal your low self-esteem to a great degree. So you look at me, I'm a mouth in the body, and you think, oh, that is the most honorable part. But maybe you are the liver in that, the place that God has placed you. You are not seen. You are covered. Your function is very quiet. But it is nonetheless very vital to correct functioning of that body. You say, I don't, my own is, I'm just the sanctuary keeper. Well, you are the liver in the literal sense, but maybe also in the spiritual sense. I remember that when I was serving in Cross River State, I was attending a particular church. And I'd been mouth all my life. Somehow my mouth fetches me out. In the fellowship I was attending at home, I wasn't saying anything. I was just following my brother. And one day the president then said, you tomorrow, Wednesday, you lead prayer. It just happens to me throughout my growing years. I would be very quiet in a place and say, you tomorrow, you will lead Bible study. In university, year one students are not made executive. I was the first year one student to be made executive in my unit. They say, you come and be assistant unit leader. I say, I'm in year one. They told me before I entered Evangelical Christian Union that year one students don't become stewards. How come my own is different? So in my service year, I felt I had a bit of control. First of all, I was very quiet. Don't do this. I did this out of understanding. And we don't all grow the same way. I'm not talking to you about the principle of how you should run your life. Please go to NCCF. But throughout camp, I didn't go to NCCF. I didn't want to be identified. I didn't want anybody to see me. I was just running away from that mouth syndrome. Before somebody would identify me from me and say, this girl, she must be something. So I avoided them. After camp, they had chosen all the executives. I started going for fellowship. I was very active. I fellowship with the bread. I didn't run away from bread. I just didn't want it. And in the church where I was attending, I decided to be, for once in my life, I will be a sanctuary keeper. So I joined the group of people washing the floor. And as God will have it, they assigned me to children's toilet. They didn't even leave me. You know, when I bargained for this, I just wanted to mop floor. When they will share the work like this, they say, you are on duty. Every service, you stand at the back so that you can go downstairs every 30 minutes. Downstairs was where the children's church was. Have you tried cleaning children's toilet? Not even adult toilet. Children's toilet. And you will clean it very... You know, in the beginning, when that thing came, I was like, oh my goodness, what have I gotten myself into? But you know, every day as I will go and clean that toilet, I will say to God, God, whatever needs cleaning out in my life. Places where it is stinking and nobody can get to, I want you to clean it out. And then gradually, I started praying for that church. If there is anything, any whatever things are covered in this place that is stopping the flow of the power and the grace of God, please, Lord, clean, the way I'm cleaning out this toilet. And throughout my service here, nobody gave me a microphone. That I sat down, like went to believers class, everything, did the exam. I enjoyed myself thoroughly. I liked it. And I liked that burden that God was giving me in the toilet. Every time I went to wash toilet, God gave me a new prayer point for myself and for that church. And in that 1 year, I was like a liver carrying waste. Everything that wasn't supposed to be in the body, removing it. There is no function that is bad, that is little, that is not significant. It's just the way that we have been trained to look at things. So that's how the body is. It has many parts, and no part can say to the another, I don't need you. And if one part has honor, all the members of the body are honored with it. If one part is distressed, all the members of the body are distressed with it. Something is wrong with the leg, you cannot walk. And then, you know, is it possible for the brains to say that, solve your problem, what is my own? My own is just to think. It's not possible. Because the impairment in the leg limits the function of the brain. So every part is important. You are so important to the plan of God. You are so important to the program of God. You are so important to the will of God in the earth. You are so crucial in your family. You were born there. You say, I don't like my... You know, there are some people, they don't like to identify with their family. They say, something is wrong with how I was... I usually say to people, you are ashamed of your family. You don't like, you think something is wrong. Please, did you come from a family that not only is it polygamous, but when they bear children, they use the children to abuse one another? If I ask you what is your name now, you say, Adenike. You say, Grace. You say, Oluwatoyin, you are bearing five fine names. But imagine that as you are going down the street, the name that people are calling you is Oriyanike Jimiti Baje Emitibi Mokunrin. Imagine that it was in the family of Jacob, Rebecca, Leah and Rachel. When they give birth to children, they use the children to abuse one another. Me, I have the love of my husband. You don't have anything. It's the name of a child. In case you think your family is dysfunctional, in case your father married your mother but he was deceived, he was so drunk on his wedding night that he brought another woman that he didn't marry and he slept and he started having babies. Then your father is so dysfunctional that he didn't stop you. Even the house girls, all of them are your brothers and sisters. Did your father, I don't know whether he had babies by your house help. Those were the very dysfunctional family. That was where Joseph came from. And Joseph was born into that family for a reason. He brought that family to... When everything happened, he said, I came here because of Israel, because of the reconciliation of my family. So you were born into your family for a purpose. You are in Futa for a purpose. I spent 7 years in OAU without repeating. I didn't have extra year. It was just ASU strike and all kinds of things. And I watched my mates going to serve. And it was very painful because I'm like, God, what is... Did I choose school wrongly? I thought, you know. But in my final year at OAU, I found the reason why I was in that school. There was a lawless prophet that was parading himself about and deceiving many young guys that were on fire for God. And many of those young people had been people that I had developed a relationship with in those useless years. When we would meet somewhere out in the praying field or something like that. And God helped me because I was... In fact, my husband graduated at Army and he said that it was like this was the way he put it to me. This was before we started cutting it. It wasn't even as a marriage thing. But we're friends in OAU and we connected spiritually. It was like you, not just me, and a few guys were like a spiritual gate at that time. You withstood that guy. He said immediately you guys graduated and left, the guy took over. He took over, but for a short period. Those guys that were close to me, that, you know, at that time they would come around me and we would share scriptures together, they eventually rose up to him. We stood him and chased him out of the school. It's not ordinary. Nothing is ordinary. Your being in this church is for a certain profit. You're being in Akure at this time. And I want you to understand your life as such. Nothing is ordinary. I went to serve the office where I was giving work. The first day I got there, I got to my desk. And I said, as I am here, I wasn't even planning to hold crusade. I was planning to do my work. But I understood what was on the inside of me. And I said, I outlaw every negative spirit in this office. Whether your name is Morality, because I was in Cross River. Many brothers. They went in Cross River. Those girls, they are original mommy water. If you see glass skin, Jesus. When a fellow girl looks at another fellow girl and says, this is beautiful. And it's free for all. You don't pursue them, they pursue you. One of my friends, a medical doctor that graduated, time brother that was standing in the Lord, he ran away, went to go and get married, brought the wife and came back. We were still serving. You know what happened? The house where he was living, the landlady, after welcoming him and everything, brought her daughter this part of the welcoming, to welcome you. He escaped it the first day, came back, the girl was sick. They said, you've not touched her. This is for you. It's part of the welcoming. My friend took this. He had a fiancé. He went, he said, sir, you don't want my life to spoil. Let's marry now. They were not babies. You know, for you to have gone through medical school in like Ife, those days, they would have done like 10 years. So they were just waiting for school. So they were not babies. The wife too was a doctor. He married her and brought her to service here. So that my life would not spoil. But there were several people that their lives were spoiled. But I got to that office and I just sat down and I said, as long as I am in this place, no immorality. It dies. Just by me sitting on this desk. If there's strife in this office, it dies. If there's corruption in this office, it dies. Anything that is not of light in this office, it dies. I was 6 months into that work. The accountant called me and said, what happened? This girl, there is no copper that has come to this office that they've not settled quarrel for them in the first month. I said, where is the girl? We were sharing the same desk. It is true. I will greet her. She will not greet me. I will try and do so. She was very cantankerous, very angry, perpetually angry, always ready to fight. But it takes two to tango. I will come back tomorrow morning. I will still greet you. You will do all that aggression. I will do as if I did not see you, as if I'm a serious mumu. But I knew that every high thing will come down. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, it will come down. I saw how the guys were looking at me, but they kept a respectable spiritual distance. The only person that tried it was the overall boss. Oga, he comes once in a while. And one day he came. He said, I should come into his office. He wants us to look for some articles, some journals. He wants to write something. I said, okay. I went there. I went in. He said, no, inside that place, that's where it is. He lost the door. I didn't see him. The next thing, somebody held me from my back like a leech. You know, I tried to remove, the thing was very tight. I tried to remove the hand. It was not even moving. The fingers were not even moving. I said, you will die cheaply. Because if you see the fear with which he released me, I say, you will die. It's not a police issue. Do you want to waste your life? You will die. Cheaply. He just walked quietly to the door and opened it and didn't see anything. He just went and sat on his desk. I was still looking for the thing. I did as if I did not see that he opened the door. Please, you can go. After a while. Hey, I should go. And I left his office. I later found out that he had been abusing that girl that we were working together. Of course, sexually. And then he would refuse to pay her. How won't she be? And she was Catholic. She didn't have much insight to withstand what she was going through. How would she be angry?
If it is you, maybe you say, what is this nonsense? I'm even greeting you, I'm even doing one kind, this other, I'm not your mate. Like, you've just lost a battleground. You know, eventually that girl confessed everything to me. She wept like a baby in my hands. This man has spoiled my life. He has slept with me. He refuses to pay me. I led her to Christ. She was the only person I directly preached to. But before I left that place, all of them were asking me, which church do you attend? I said, it's not a church matter. This is the church I attend. You come and go to CAC. That's where I was born and raised. It's not a church issue. It's a Christ issue. You were in any place where you find yourself, there's stuff in you to solve problems in that place. To profit all in that place. Whether it is for 1 month or for 1 day or for the rest of your life, don't go into the world with a victim's mentality. I came here for 40,000 naira salary. Don't think like that. You came there for the will of God. You came there for the profiting of all. And the Bible shows us that there is a way to go about this. There's a more excellent way. It is not by saying, I am the one with the gift of... You know, like I didn't, by the grace of God, I didn't go to that place and say, I'm a minister of the word of God in office. I'm a minister of the word. Any time when I will get there, imagine that this was my life. I will get there by, let's say office resumes 8. You now get there by 8:30. When you call, you now bring one fat Bible, you open it. On the desk. Shala Kadia! Man two. You shout and disturb everybody. Irritate everybody. You say, what are you doing? You say, I'm leaving the kingdom of God. You are being foolish. That's why Paul was saying, there is a more excellent. It's not by loud. Profiting of all, using your gifts, using your... It's not loud something. And that's why he was saying here that you may speak all kinds of tongues and be able to interpret all kinds of mysteries. You may be the most gifted apostle. And it doesn't limit it to even like church pulpit things. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he mentioned helpers, administrators. Don't be in everybody's face, shekaring me. You know, there's a way that you are the helper, but the way you help so that people see that you are helping, you know, and you are the only one helping. He says that it is even possible to feed the poor and give your body to be burned, and those things are really not profiting anybody. They are really not profiting the kingdom. But what is the more excellent way by which you profit the kingdom? Do you have this 1 Corinthians 13 in the Amplified from verse 4? Is there Amplified there? Please project it in Amplified. 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 4. Love endures long. This is a portrait of a man that is profitable, that is more excellent than just having gifts, talent, ability, able to do it. This is the portrait of that man or that woman. It's a loving person. Love endures long and is patient and is kind. If you are not enduring, if you can't endure anything, mi oleba, I can't take it. Short fuse. No matter how gifted you are, you can't profit. You can't profit your family. As a married woman, as a married man, you can't profit your children. You can't endure long. You are not patient. You are not kind. Love is not envious. I told us when I talked on Friday that when we talk about excellence, it's not about competition. It's not about comparison. It's not about trying to be the person that is superior to everybody else. When competitive jealousy is the background from which you are doing things, you'll be envious. You will boil over with jealousy when there's competition. It's not boastful. Shoulder pad. Hello. Only people who are here on Friday understand shoulder pad. If you understand shoulder pad, raise your hand. Love does not wear shoulder pad. It's not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself, or it doesn't wear airs because you did it and it was fantastic and everybody is ailing you. You have blown small inside. The way you walk out, people know that you are the one. the way you carry yourself, everybody in church, everybody in the office.
No,
it doesn't wear airs. Go to verse 5. Is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. Anyone who will be profitable, no matter how gifted you are not conceited. No matter how God promotes you are not conceited. You are not arrogant or inflated with pride. Is not rude.
Is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly.
Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or on its own way. It's getting more difficult, right? I mean, we are talking about being long-suffering, being patient, being kind. That is hard enough. But when it now talks about the fact that you are right, but you don't insist. It's your right, but love does not insist. A lot of strife, a lot of quarrel in the home and in our relationships will be avoidable if we're walking in love. We'll be more profitable if we're walking in love. It doesn't insist on its own right or its own way. It is not self-seeking. It is not... Hello, sisters. Hello? Hello? Can you read what I'm reading? Is this showing behind? What is the next sentence? It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. I'm not in the mood. Mood swing. Touchy. Touchy. Fretful. Always in an anxious, worried state. You can worry for Africa. Worry, always worrying, always anxious. There's something that is always making you anxious or worried. Or you are just touchy. You are just color. Your aura is just calm. Moody, mood swing. You are not going to profit. It doesn't matter. If you like, sing like nightingale. That thing will stop profiting. It will stop profiting. Fretful or resentful, it takes no account of evil done to it. It pays no attention to suffer wrong. God taught me this one in a very, very, very hard way. You are not even allowed to keep account. You say, I can forgive you, but I can never forget. You will forget too. You are not allowed to keep account of evil done. Nobody is denying that evil was done. You are just not allowed to keep account of it. And you do not pay attention. You know, it's not that ordinarily you even pay attention. Now, devil will even preach sermon to you about the suffered wrong. You dwell on it for days. If he didn't mean it like that, why did he say that thing that he said? Because the way that he said is not even what he said. But remember the other time, you'll be listening to ministrations of Satan. Paying attention to suffered wrong. It will be getting bigger. Your anger will be deepening. Your bitterness will be taking root. When that is going on, it doesn't matter how gifted, how talented, how glorious the purpose, it will not profit you or anybody. It will not. It will profit you or anybody. Let's go on and read a bit of the next. It does not rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevails. Verse 7. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person, even when they are their worst. That's where there is no evil speaking in love. Its hopes are steadfast under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. And 13:8 says, love does not what? It never fails. Never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Never. This is what I want to be. I want to be enduring. This is who you are meant to be. You are meant to be enduring. If you don't walk in love, you can't last. You'll be like a maize plant. You know, when you plant corn in the ground, within 6 months, what happens? Everybody is eating corn, Abby. It's all over the place within 6 months. How much are they selling corn?
50 naira. You understand? And it's seasonal. After a season, there's no corn again. That's the fruit that some believers bear. That's how some believers are. They're like corn. He shoots up quickly, looks as if there's something interesting there. After a while, it's gone. But you see, the person that is walking in love is like when you plant cocoa and you don't see anything. I hear for 5 years, you don't see anything. It may not come, nothing may come up. But from the time that it shoots out from the ground and starts fruiting, it is a perennial crop. It makes nations to be rich. It's not 50 naira corn that you eat and throw into the dustbin. That's how love makes you in the spirit. You are fruitful. You are profitable. You endure. Your fruit will last generations. It will outlive you. You will not even know what you have done. You will go to service here. You go to 1-5 years in Futa. What you have done will be enduring there. Generations will come and meet it. You yourself, you will not even know you have gone. That is the profiting of all. Let me read one more scripture before I'm done. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. From verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are what? Excellent. That you may be what? Sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. Now this tells me that if your love is not abounding, you don't even know what excellence is. Is that what that scripture says? Look at it again. I'm not the one saying it. I'm not preaching my opinion to you. It says in verse 9, that your love may abound still more and more. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are what? Excellent. So if you are not walking in love, let's even forget about excellence. You realize why love is the more excellent way now. So excellence is not your activities. Excellence is not your gifts. Excellence is not your talent. Excellence is walking and abounding in love, and the wisdom of God instructing your heart to understand His ways, His will. And in that way, you are fruitful, and your fruit abides to the praise and to the glory of God. How many of us want to be those kind of excellent people? Not the excellence of this world. Not the excellence where they compare themselves with themselves and try to pull each other down. We are not talking about trying to be famous or trying to do something to impress men. We are talking about walking in our original design and destiny to the praise and glory of our God and to the profit of all. Can we take a moment and just talk to God? I want you to pray one important prayer this morning. God, I want to endure. I don't want to be a shooting star. I want to endure. I want to endure. I want to last. Fruitfulness that profits all and brings praise and glory to God. Longevity. Endurance. Train me into a woman of endurance by the discipline of love. Help me not to respond to what is happening around. That's what love does. It trains you not to respond to your circumstances. Because you know you must not be touchy. You must not be resentful. You must not be fretful. There's a state you must not be in. You must receive strength and come into who you originally are. And by that, the Lord strains your spirit to carry graces into generations. I want to carry the grace of God into generations. I want to abide. I want God to be able to trust me with capacities of heaven, with resources of the spirit.
I want to be built into that person that can carry God into my generation. Bible says that David served God in his generation. He served the will of God and then he rested with his fathers. In my generation, I want to serve the will of God. I want to finish my course with joy. In the name of Jesus. My song every day, Lord, draw me nearer. Lord, Moses said to the Lord, I want to see your face. He said, if you see my face, you are going to die. But let me do something for you.
Hallelujah.
There is
Hallelujah.
A place by me, and you will stand on the rock. That's what the Lord is saying to you. There is a place where, by me, when you stand on the rock, nothing moves you. Love walk is standing on that rock. Love walk makes you rock solid. That is the rock that followed Israel. That rock is love. That rock was Christ. God is constituting you into that rock so that you can outlast everything. He said, if you see me, you will die, but I will do something for you. There is a place by me and you will stand on the rock. My song every day, Lord,
Lord, me.
I want to stand on the rock. Lord, this is my song
every day.
Oh Lord,
Lord,
from the bottom of your heart. Oh, this is my song,
my song every day.
Oh Lord,
Lord, me near.
Lord,
Lord, me near, near to
you. Oh, this is my prayer.
Enjoy this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.